Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. When you're looking at the life of Moses, certainly there is so much that we could study, because after all, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. He is certainly highlighted throughout the Scriptures. And yet, we are not trying to have a prolonged study on the life of Moses, but a very specific study of him. We have been looking at different messages. This is the eighth message that we have preached on with Moses. We have looked at the early training of Moses. We've seen, secondly, the choice by Moses. Thirdly, we saw the advanced training of Moses. Fourthly, we saw the call of Moses. Fifthly, the excuses of Moses. Number six, we looked at the surrender of Moses to God's call. And then last week, we saw Moses, the man who stood with God. And let me encourage you, if you would be interested in studying these messages on Moses, they would be, I believe, for the most part, if not all of them. Are all of them? All of them are on our website, so you're welcome to get on there and study them. But tonight, we're going to look at the faith of Moses. The faith of Moses. And when you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, we see, for instance, in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born. So verse 23 tells us, really, about the parents of Moses, how they hid him, Moses, for because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So we did already talk about that a little bit, about the parents of Moses. But if you go on to verses 24 through 29, we're going to see the faith of Moses. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as what? The faith chapter. In desperate times, we need faith in God. You know, we've been listening to our missionaries go on about trusting the Lord in this time of the coronavirus. Well, Moses, being one of the greatest men in the Bible, you know, we would expect that he would be listed in the faith chapter. So you would expect that. And it's important that we try to understand regarding this faith that we really, we react properly to the circumstances around us. Now, my purpose tonight is, in studying Moses, to show you his great faith. And in doing so, I hope you will be motivated to have the same kind of faith. So, in studying Moses, I want to, first of all, number one, to consider the statement of Moses' faith. All right? So, we already mentioned his parents in verse 23, but I want you to notice from verses 24 through 29. It tells us in verse 24, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, by faith, he, speaking of Moses. Verse 28, through faith, he, speaking of Moses. And in verse 29, by faith, they, the Israelites, through Moses. And so what we find here is that there is the statement of faith. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that Moses had faith. But we have to ask the question this. We have to ask this question. What is faith? Faith, we're told in chapter 11, look here, and we have it right before us, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. For the evidence of things not seen. And what we find here, as you look at that word substance, you'll find that, I believe it's translated five times in the New Testament, that particular word. And if I'm not mistaken, about three of those times it's translated confidence. And so we find it's almost like a sure footing. And that is true, that faith gives us sure footing. It gives us the reality that we can have confidence in what God says. And when we think of confidence, we think of, you know, things that we can have confidence in. It can be something that is sure, and it can be something that's not sure. And it's something that you know, many people, they will talk about the fact that they're sure about something. Well, how do you know that? Well, I just believe that it's going to be that way. Faith does have confidence. Secondly, we see that faith has dependence. And it says there in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the word hope has the idea of an expectation. You know, it's not like I hope everything turns out right. It's like I'm expecting everything to turn out right. That's an expectation. The Bible talks about, for instance, a sure hope, this hope of the second coming of Christ. And it tells us that if any man has that kind of hope, it purifies him. There's an expectation. There is a dependence on that happening. And so we find that faith has confidence, faith has hope, or should we say dependence. And then we can see in this passage that faith always has action. See, if there is not action with faith, it is really not faith. That's why the scripture tells us in James that faith without works is dead. In other words, you could say it this way. If you say you have faith and you have not works, you really don't have faith. It's a dead faith. And dead faith is no faith. But if you'll notice, for instance, in chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel, notice what he did. He offered. In verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated, and it says, because he walked, he pleased God. Verse 5. We're told in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of the things that of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So he built an ark. We're told in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, in the middle of that verse, obeyed. And we could go through every person that's mentioned in the faith chapter, and you'd have evidence in the Old Testament that they didn't just say they believed, they acted on their belief. So, the scripture, when it tells us that by faith, Moses, we know that faith, that Moses was confident in God. Now that confidence grew. And that's an interesting thing when you think about faith growing, that, you know, sometimes we have doubts. We're told that Lord Jesus came down from the mountain one time, and the disciples said to him, we were not able to heal this one boy. And so Jesus goes and talks to the father of that boy, and the father said something to the effect of, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now the thing about faith growing is growing faith, sometimes we have questions, not a skepticism type question, but we're just wondering question. We ask the question, why? And when we have this question, and that question gets answered, guess what? It now provides it provides a surety. In other words, it makes the doubts go away. And the more you look at the life of Moses, you're going to see that there were times where he was apprehensive and didn't know exactly what to do. But by the time we get to the end of our study this evening, you're going to see that he was very confident. He was very dependent. So, we find, first of all, the statement of faith. Now, the second thing I want you to see regarding faith and regarding Moses' faith is that we want to see, secondly, the object of his faith. Because you see, it's important because sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, people will say, well, I just have strong faith. Well, that's maybe good, but you know, you can have faith in the wrong thing. You know, there's been cars I've had that I had a lot of hope that when I got up and I turned the key that the thing was going to turn on. And it was going to start. And I had all the confidence in the world. I wasn't even worried about getting to my destination. I just got in the car and all of a sudden it went, and it just kept doing that. You know, and it wouldn't start. So my confidence in that car starting was misdirected. On the other hand, there are things that we can have confidence in that we can be sure that it's going to happen. Now, ultimately, nothing is sure except God. And you can count on God that God will be dependable every single time. Now, I can have confidence in a presidential candidate, but they could disappoint me. I can have faith. I mean, to the point where I have such confidence and I'm depending on them and I'll go vote for them. And then they could turn around and contradict what I wanted them to do. So what we find here is that when we're talking about the faith of Moses, we have to understand he was not putting his dependence on himself. He was not putting his dependence on the people. He had to learn that. He did not put his dependence upon Pharaoh. He had to learn that. But what we do find is that he eventually came to the point where I can only trust God. Verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, speaking of God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, the Scripture tells us that the object of Moses' faith was God. And that pleased God. And God was very encouraged by Moses. You know, we can have our trust in things that will mislead us, but you can always trust God. And I would want to say to you this evening, you know, don't trust in that which is unreliable. Trust in God. You can trust in His Word because His Word will never fail us. And we have to understand the true object of our faith. But that really brings me to my third consideration. Not only do we see the statement of Moses' faith and the object of Moses' faith, but I want you to see, thirdly, the demonstration of Moses' faith. Because we said that true faith not only has confidence, has dependence, but it has action. So I want us to see here this evening four things, and we're going to see them in verses 24 through 29. And as we have opportunity, we'll go back to the book of Exodus and see them demonstrate a little bit. We've actually discussed in two previous sermons two of these things. So we won't spend as much time there. But I want you to see, for instance, number one in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, what we find here is that the first thing regarding Moses' faith is that he decided to follow God. He made a decision to follow God. And in verse 24, we see that it came by way of a refusal. Now, we talked about this before. Refusal is basically saying no to something. A refusal says, no, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm not going to be involved in that. You know, Jesus said that in order to say no, that you must learn to deny yourself. And if any man will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. And Moses, we're told in verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There are some that would think that he could have become the next Pharaoh. Now that's up for possibility. And we discussed that in previous messages. But it's important to recognize that he basically made a refusal that he would not want to become part of the worldly workings of Egypt. And we must, like Moses, reject some things, like worldliness, or the applause of men, or the temptation of sin. So Moses demonstrated his faith by making a decision to refuse. Verse 25, we see that he also not only decided to follow God in his refusal, he decided to follow God in his choice. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So, the scripture here tells us that Moses made a choice. He made a decision, you know, just like you make a decision. I'm going to vote for this person, or I'm going to go do this activity. He not only said no to that which is wrong, he said yes to that which was right. And what was the right? Verse 25, be to suffer the affliction with the people of God, then to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Boy, would God give us grace to make that choice. Because our flesh wants to many times do those things that are wrong when the Bible tells us that we ought to do those things that will not please ourselves but to please God. And we're told that he made this choice. And we saw thirdly that he decided to follow God in his refusal, in his choice, verse 25. But we see, thirdly, his reason. The reason why he made that choice. Verse 26. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And I had a preacher many years ago who, in describing this, he said that Moses considered the life of God at its worst to be superior to the world at its best. And so he made a choice with God, and he said basically, you know, I'm not going to exchange worldly pleasure for the things of Satan or of the world. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what would we give in exchange for the world? You know, would it be money? Would it be love? Would it be peace? Would it be happiness? The fact is, Moses had enough faith that he esteemed the reproach of the people of God to be superior to the treasures that the world had to offer. Now, that's faith. So, the demonstration of Moses' faith, first of all, he decided to follow God. And friend, you need to learn to decide to follow God. You need to make the choice. Am I going to live for God or not? There's only two choices. On the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. The second demonstration of Moses' faith we see in verse 27. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, in talking about this verse, I have a footnote that said this could be when he first went to Egypt, when he was 40, or it could be when he was at the point of the Passover. And I think in the context and based on our study of this, he's talking about when he's 80 years of age. Because he was afraid of Pharaoh at the age of 40. He fled Pharaoh. But at age 80, the Bible tells us that he went before Pharaoh. Now, it's interesting that he forsook Egypt in spite of human weakness. We talked about the fact that he sometimes had his doubts. I can't speak, he said. I don't know if I can do this. And God says, you can do it. If I say you can do it, you can do it. And there's a lot of things we think we can't do, but God, in His grace, gives us the ability to do it. He did this not only in spite of human weakness, but in spite of human opposition. And as we saw last week, there was Pharaoh and the hardness of Pharaoh. And he took a stand for God. And he became God's man in light of Pharaoh's rejection of God. But he also had, he forsook Egypt, not only in spite of the human opposition of Pharaoh, but also from the human opposition of the children of Israel. Because, again, they did not have strong faith, because when Moses, when he got done appealing to Pharaoh, they found themselves having to work harder. And you and I have to understand that the tendency for us is to, when things are going wrong and we're in opposition, we somehow think, well, you know, I might as well just quit. I can't do this. But not a man of faith. Moses had faith that God was all powerful. And that power proved itself over a period of 10 plagues. And in those 10 plagues, the scripture tells us that Moses not only became stronger in his own eyes because of God's strength, but in the eyes of the children of Israel. So, he demonstrated his faith by deciding to follow God. He demonstrated his faith by forsaking Egypt. And we looked at that last week, how God did that through him. Thirdly, we see that he demonstrated his faith, verse 28, the third way, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So what we find here is that he kept the Passover. Now think about this. When we think about the Passover, we see that in verse 28, he kept the Passover. Now hold your hand here and go over to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 12, we find that he is involved in what is really, in essence, the 10th plague. This was the plague that really caused Pharaoh to say, okay, enough is enough, get out of here. And Moses was able, under the power of God, to get the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, what was this 10th plague? Well, if you look over to chapter 11, verse 5, it tells us all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. Now think about that. the firstborn child of every family is going to die. Now, we talk about a plague. This is a plague. Every house is touched. Think about this. The firstborn of the family of the dad, the firstborn of the family of the mother, the firstborn of the child. Every single family, in one way or another, is touched, if not directly, indirectly. So, what we find here, that Moses had faith. He had faith in all the details of God's Word. I want you to think about this. In all the details of God's Word. Now, God tells Moses, this is what you do. And if you look at verse 1 of chapter 12, and the Lord spake. See, friend, when the Lord speaks, we ought to listen. Faith in God says, okay, God, I believe you. And in verse 1, after the Lord spake, God gives specific instructions. In verse 3, we're told, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man, what? A lamb. So they had to take a lamb. Then we're told, in verse 5, your lamb shall be what? Without blemish. So we cannot be dealing with a lamb that has some kind of disease. Most people, I suppose, would think, well, you know, I got a sick animal anyway, I might as well offer him. Well, in this case, they're going to eat him. But it had to be without blemish, without spot. Thirdly, we find in verse 5 that he had to be a male of the first year. So this is a lamb that is in the prime of existence. Fourthly, we find that in verses 6 and 7, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall do what? Shall kill it in the evening. And verse 7, and they shall take of the blood. So, it's important that we understand that Moses had to follow specific instructions. Now, in some of the plagues, the children of Israel were exempt. But in this case, God says, no, you're not exempt from this one unless you follow my detailed instructions. And we're told here that he was going to be able to offer that lamb. Now, it's important for us to understand 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, and you can look at this and you can study this, but let me read it to you. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover. So what we find in the Bible is that Jesus is our Passover. Now, think about this. This coming Friday, we call it Good Friday. Now, from the Jewish calendar, when Jesus died on the cross, he died on the Passover. And what's interesting about Jesus dying on the as the Passover, he was the Lamb of God. John chapter 1 tells us that. He was without spot or wrinkle. We're told in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now we have to understand that God is keeping the picture here to preserve for us and what the Israelites were going to do year after year after year after year to picture the coming of Jesus. So Moses believed in all the details of God's word because he had faith. But not only did he believe in all the details of God's word, Moses applied the blood. And Moses, if you look in verse 7, "And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So Moses and the children of Israel took a hyssop plant and dipped it in the blood and applied it on the doorposts and above the door. And the scripture tells us that when the death angel was to come and going to kill all the firstborn of the land, if the children of Israel did that, God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." You know, we must apply Christ's blood to our hearts by faith. We are redeemed, as we saw, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we must, by faith, receive the blood of Christ to be the full sufficient payment for our sins. So Moses, interestingly enough, he trusted in, by faith, this Passover. Now, again, don't lose your hand in Exodus because we'll come back there, but go over to Hebrews chapter 11 because we see the fourth demonstration of Moses' faith. And it's in verse 29. "By faith," it tells us, "they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do, were drowned." Now, if we had an auditorium filled with people who knew the Lord for any extent of time, and if I were to say, how many of you have heard of the passing of the children of Israel through the Red Sea, almost everyone would raise their hand. Because when you go over to the book of Exodus, let's come back to chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we see that through faith, Moses passed through the Red Sea. Now, it's interesting because in chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea." And you say, where's all that? Well, let me read a footnote I have here. It says, "The location of these places," this is Ryrie's study Bible, "the location of these places is uncertain. But the route of march was changed from southeasterly, which it continued would have brought the Israelites into conflict with the Egyptian border. And it had gone southwesterly, which put the Red Sea between them." So in other words, what are we seeing here? We're saying that God led those people to a dead end. They were landlocked. And so the children of Israel come out of Egypt and they come to this place of the Red Sea, and the scripture tells us that verse 6 of chapter 14, that Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took people with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, captains over every one of them. And the Lord, verse 8, hardened the heart of Pharaoh. So what we find here is that Moses and the Israelites were landlocked. So what did Moses do? Well, he trusted in God's leading. Now, think about that. He basically trusted that God was putting him where he needed to be, even though he didn't understand it. Sometimes God brings us to a place where we have no way out. And sometimes financially, whether it be in our health, or whether it be in our relationship struggles or joblessness or whatever it may be, God sometimes, in His infinite wisdom, allows us to come to the end of ourselves where we have no way out. So we find that Moses trusted in God's leading, and that's incredible faith. Because, you know, we have a tendency to say, God, why did you do this? Now, Moses asked that question, didn't he, in the book when he first went to Pharaoh. God, why did you do this if Pharaoh is going to treat us this way? But Moses' faith grew. And now he is in this place where he has no way out, and he trusted God. So he trusted God in his leading. He trusted in God's deliverance. Look at chapter 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? What does Moses do? Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, got to memorize this, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So we find here that Moses, by faith, trusted in God's deliverance. Fear not. See the salvation of the Lord. Have you come to the point, friend, when you have grown enough in your faith that when everything seems wrong, you can say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm waiting to see what you're going to do. See, God led them through the sea and drowned the Egyptians, as it says in Hebrews 11, verse 29. God can take our impossible situations and deliver us. Now, we have to understand that what is deliverance for me may not be God's deliverance. We go to the Scripture and we see that God did a marvelous work in Acts chapter 12 in delivering Peter out of prison. And we would say, boy, God was very powerful. God was very wise in breaking Peter out of prison with an angel. But we also understand that in that very context, God allowed Herod to kill James. And even though Peter was delivered, James was killed. And if God was wise enough and strong enough to deliver Peter, he would have been wise enough and strong enough to not deliver James. So we have to understand that our idea of deliverance and God's idea of deliverance may not be the same thing, but we have to always have trust in God that His deliverance will provide for us. So we've seen the statement of Moses' faith. And we have seen the object of Moses' faith, and that was God. And we see the demonstration of Moses' faith. Now, how about you, friend? Could it be said of you that you have faith in God? Do you demonstrate your faith in your decisions? Did you make a decision for Christ? That takes faith. Do you have faith in trusting in God's power in your life? You know, and just as Moses was delivered through the plagues and through the power of God, God is powerful. Do you have faith in applying Christ's blood to your life? And do you have faith in trusting God to deliver you? May God help us to live a life of faith. The faith of Moses, what a wonderful lesson we should learn from that. Lord, we ask that you'd guide us, help us, strengthen us, give us wisdom in all that we do. Lord, we need you. Lord, we pray that if there's someone here listening that has never received Jesus as their Savior, help them to come to Christ. Help them to even care enough to ask somebody that would know how to lead them to Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that as we trust you, that we would trust you in our decisions, that you would help us to trust you in your power to deliver us, that we would trust in the blood, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. We will, as I mentioned, not have our sunrise service, but we will have our Sunday school service this coming Sunday at 9:30, and we want to go over the subject of the resurrection for Sunday school, and then at 10:45, we'll be certainly having our Easter Sunday morning service. All of that will be live streamed, so I hope you'll join us when you do that. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us.